thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's June 2020, and you're listening to episode 184, which is a short pod blast that's part of a special series during the COVID-19 2020 quarantine. On this episode, I'm joined by Matthew Kennedy, who has an MDiv and is the rector, aka senior pastor, of the Church of the Good Shepherd, an Anglican church in Binghamton, New York. He also writes for the Anglican blog Stand Firm. Matt, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to say that we're kind of coming out of a very strict quarantine right now around the country in early June, but there is kind of a new normal here. So things are not the way they were several months ago when all of this started. And so Christians are facing various different issues. And some of the biggest ones, not just for Christians, but in our society, is the reopening of churches and houses of worship. So I just wanted to talk to Matt a little bit about that today in this Pod Blast series. So Matt, what are some of your thoughts as you face this reopening as somebody who is in the clergy?
Well, to be honest, I'm a bit worried about it because we have, at least I think in my own parish, I don't think we're unique. We have people on various sides of kind of the battles over masks or whether or not the government was some kind of fraud is going on or whether it's all real. We have people on all sides of these questions. And I don't know if you've been paying attention on social media, but the fights can get pretty brutal. If you're watching or listening, you can see how Christians can go out at each other, really not violently, but pretty hard on Facebook and on Twitter and other places. And my concern, my worry is wow, what's going to happen when we meet again together as a body? People on one side are essentially saying that, well, you know, you're just afraid of death. You're not really a Christian. You want to wear these masks and be submit to the government. And the other side saying, well, no, you hate old people. You want them all to die. So you don't want to wear a mask. You're just being selfish. Those are pretty hard, hefty accusations being lodged by both sides. And what's interesting about it, I thought, is that this really isn't an essential issue. This isn't one of those things that Christians need to import their a moral quality to. If you think you should wear a mask, or you think you shouldn't wear a mask, or you think the government is not being completely competent, or you think it is, you know, these are things that the Bible's absolutely silent about. So we can come together and say, okay, well, look, I disagree with you here, but we're brothers and sisters. So I'm gonna approach this issue with humility. And when we meet together in a church, if my church says let's wear masks, then hey, it's not gonna hurt me to throw a mask on. If my church says we're not wearing masks, then that's fine too. I think the worry is that we're not gonna be able to do that. We're gonna take our preferences and turn them into law.
So as Christians, how do we navigate coming back together when obviously just due to circumstances and most of our interaction has just been virtual? You know, some passions can be very strong at this time in terms of various different opinions. So how do we just navigate all of that as we ease back into, you know, the warp and woof of church life?
Yeah, I love the advice. It's not really advice. It's in the Bible. It's more of a command that Paul gives to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 2, when he says that you should consider others more significant than yourself. In other words, identify so much with your brother or your sister that his fears or his concerns or her concerns become yours as well, right? So if you really are hoping to love your brother or your sister like Christ loved you, then it's not going to be that difficult to set aside some of your own preferences when you come together to say, okay, well, I'd rather things be this way, but they can't be. I disagree, but they can't be. So I'm going to just submit myself to the way things are so I can meet together with my church family.
So what kind of encouragement would you give to church staff and other clergy and people in the ministry that have to deal with navigating how to encourage people with such, you know, deep passions on both issues. They're going to hear from people, whether it's lay people who are leading small groups or whether it's church staff members in various different ministries, children's, women's ministry, and different pastors. Like, how should they be able to really counsel and encourage the people in their community, in their church community?
Yeah, I think it's going back to the passage I cited a minute ago from Philippians chapter 2, consider others as more significant than yourselves. I think it's a pastor's role to help people do that. So if someone comes to me and is irate that he has to wear a mask or she has to wear a mask or vice versa, you know, my job would be then to say, okay, let's try to walk through this from the other person's perspective. I mean, how would you feel if you, you know, had someone maybe in your family who was sick and you're worried about other people getting sick? Would you, wouldn't you want people to wear a mask? So our task, and this is true, not just with this issue, but really with any kind of counseling, pastoral counseling situation that involves conflict, is to help one person identify and have compassion for the other. That takes a lot of work sometimes, because people go, that's not our natural inclination. Our natural inclination is to put me first. My way is the best way. And then what we do as human beings typically is we turn our desires and preferences into laws by which we judge people. So that all has to be broken down if there's going to be peace. If we insist on our own way on things that are not essential, then there's going to be, churches are going to be dividing, splitting off, people just won't come back, and it will be bad news.
Now, I know there are people out there who really feel honestly worried about coming back, and there's just been feeling, well, I'm encouraged in that I can just be at home now, and I feel safer, and I really like that my church is streaming services, so I don't really feel the urgency to go back. How do you deal with, you know, trying to navigate that and getting people back to the warp and woof of church life, especially, you know, I think in a lot of, there might be some corners of evangelicalism where people, you know, tend to watch their services online, but that's a very small minority. Most people go to church in person. And so now we've gotten used to just being at home in our PJs and doing church. So what word would you have to Christians about getting back to church?
That has been a real big worry of mine. In fact, I you know, if you do a really good, not saying that we have the best, or if you do, or even a good one, but if you do a decent live stream that's watchable and people get really comfortable with that, I think, especially if you have people in your church who are primarily introverted, that's going to be really difficult to get them pried away from that from that live stream. The extroverts are going to want to come to church right away, but the introverts are going to be a little bit tougher sometimes. I think, you know, there is, of course, the command in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Don't neglect the gathering together of the body, that I think will compel the Christian conscience. And I also think there's even, okay, I'm a typical introvert. I have not been suffering being by my being alone or being not having groups that I'm meeting with regularly. But, you know, even I, as someone who's pretty severely introverted, does feel a real sense of loss. And I didn't think I would, but a real sense of loss that when I something big is missing in my life that I guess I had not I'd taken for granted, the fact that I used to be able to look my brother or sister in the eye, see them smile, have interactions. You know, it's one thing to interact on Zoom. It's not really communication in my experience. You can speak and see the other's face, but there's something about being with somebody in person that makes a big difference. And, you know, we're the church, the ecclesia, the assembly. So it's how that the very name church assumes that we're meeting together and that we're bound together at a spiritual level, but we also meet together physically.
So there's a lot of Christians probably, like in your tradition, in the Anglican tradition, there is more of a sense of the church calendar and meeting together than maybe some other Protestant denominations and so forth. And so what word would you have to Christians just about the importance, the biblical importance of church community, why they should really consider, introverted or not, coming back and being part of the church community? Because sometimes it's very hard and painful to be part of the church body.
I think it's supposed to be hard and painful. One of the ways that God sanctifies us, that makes us more like his son, Jesus Christ, is by first, of course, bringing us to faith, but then binding us to a group of people in a local church. And you look around your average church, if the gospel is being preached, you're going to have people from all different walks of life, different ethnicities, different political views, people from all over who wouldn't normally get together if they were just privately living out their own lives. But Christ brings them all together in one place and then commands you, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, love one another as I've loved you. And that hurts because you're going to run into people you don't like. You're going to run into people who irritate you. You're going to run into people whose customs and mannerisms are so different than yours that you're constantly being insulted by them. And that's good. That's precisely what God wants to happen, because by going and then sticking it out, you have to learn to die to self. You have to learn to die to your own preferences and desires and wants. And as you do, you're going to become more like Christ. That's the purpose. So I would say, yeah, going to church can be painful. Going to church can be difficult. Seeing people you don't get along with is not something we would voluntarily do, but it is the call of love that Christ gives to every single believer.
I do think that one thing that's been difficult or challenging anyway is to be without. Now, again, there are different views about this in different Christian traditions, but just to be without practicing various sacraments, including the Lord's Supper. And so why would, and I know that different Christians have different views on even, you know, how the Lord's Supper is administered. But just finally, why would Christians need to take that? Why is it important for them to be in church where they are administered communion, for example?
Well, I think if you cutting across all traditions, you have the commands that Jesus gave when he instituted the sacrament of communion, or the ordinance, as my Reformed brothers and sisters like to say, do this in remembrance of me. It wasn't a, hey, you know, maybe you'd like to try some of this. It was a command, do this in remembrance of me. And then you have that wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul says that when you partake of the cup, you are also partaking of the blood of Christ. When you partake of the bread, you're taking of the body of Christ. And he doesn't say how. So I don't want to get into whether it's physical or material or what. It just says you are. And so there's no other way to partake of his body and blood, and I think after a spiritual manner, than at the moment when the church gathers for communion. And he feeds you with his body and blood in a spiritual way. I don't see how that's replaceable by anything else. He feeds you, he nourishes you, he cleanses you. It is one of the great means of grace, by the way, one of the means that God reforms you and transforms you as you walk through this Christian life. So that to me, and I think it's probably the truth for most of my parishioners, is one of the main reasons we want to get back together, is we miss taking communion together and having that sacrament.
Well, finally, I want to end with a question for Matt that I've usually started these pod blasts with, but I'll end with it instead with Matt. What is something small that you lament? There's been a time of lament in this kind of new normal since the pandemic started. It doesn't have to be anything profound, but something that you miss that you hope you can get back to soon.
Well, I mean, I guess I would say I miss driving a lot. You know, the cars were sitting languishing there in the driveway. I guess we saved gas. But I miss driving. I miss going out. There was nothing really, I mean, I guess if I go to the store, but I was driving the car a whole bunch more before. And I did a lot of my thinking and praying and all that kind of thing in the car. And so I guess I don't think I'd pray as much since I'm not driving around.
Well, I'm with you there. I am been working at home, and usually in my commute, I have a regular routine of thinking and praying and listening to scripture as I drive. And so I haven't had that. Lately, I've gone back to trying to put on glasses and read super tiny print in my Bible.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Matt, for being on the Postmodern Realities Podblast today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was Matt Kennedy, who is the rector of the Church of the Good Shepherd, an Anglican church in Binghamton, New York. Thank you for listening. And for more past podcasts, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or find more at our website, equip.org.